Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. Recording this Sunday, so Shu and I had the pleasure of being in the building Saturday for the beatdown of the Cavaliers. So we're going to jump into that, talk a little bit about the game, our experiences there. Obviously, this was a fun one, so we'll kind of dance around some topics a little bit and get ready for state here. If you weren't paying attention, we put a 25 piece on those boys. So Duke wins 73-48 in a game that really was never close. You know, we led at the break 40-18. It was 14-4, 11-4, like right out of the gate here. We're going to talk a little bit about Flip, a little bit about the guard play, got into the bench a little bit here too. Fellas, you, let me just toss it to you first since we were there. Just walk me through a little bit of the atmosphere being in the building for this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming into the game, you never know really what to expect when you're playing UVA, just the style that they like to play. So, you know, somebody had texted me, you know, to have fun, have a good time. And I was like, yeah, I hope I'm able to do that instead of just being kind of like a muddy, you know, 48-44 game or something. But yeah, just right off the bat, you know, you could tell the guys were ready to go, locked in, probably taking it a little personally from, you know, what happened up there last year. So, just a good energy and good vibe in Cameron. You know, some UVA fans here and there, but they didn't have a lot to cheer for very long.
And most of those seemed like they had like either traveled with the fam, right, with the team. There's a lot like right there behind their bench. For me, it was pretty evident that it was March being in the building. You know, like we were at the Duke Carolina game. Obviously, that one is like it stands alone as its own like entity. But I thought, man, that was one of the better environments I had been in Cameron. The place was rocking. The students were loud the entire time in a blowout game, which is still really cool to just see that energy level. And you're right, dude. I mean, we came out of the gate, just walked in. UVA helped us a little bit, you know, but, and I think Tony even talked about just, you know, a lot of these guys never played here and that showed, right? And we couldn't really run our stuff. We couldn't really get into anything that we were doing. I think a large part of that is what we were doing defensively. And we can talk about that too here. Raul, you know, we watched it live, so it's always kind of a different viewing experience. And just in terms of kind of the vibe and the tone to start the game, what was it like kind of watching it on the TV?
To me, it was like the game was won in those first 16 minutes. And it was won with being able to force UVA into turnovers, which is uncharacteristic for them. And then it was won with being able to control pace, which is another hard thing to do against UVA. I thought we were great at just like getting the ball down the court really fast and Flip getting great post position out of that. It almost reminded me of like the UNC's, you know, secondary break, like how they just push it down the floor and get it right to the big man before the defense has time to get set up and before they have a chance to double. And Flip was obviously able to eat in the post because of that.
Yeah. I mean, we got to talk about Flip, right? This is like the epitome of good Flip probably. I need to look and see like how many shots did he take, because it seemed like he was just super efficient and pretty much started. So he was what he took what was he, 9 of 14?
9 of 14.
Yeah. So obviously that's incredible to begin with. But to start the game, I think he missed his second shot, first or second shot, got the offensive rebound, put it back in, comes right back down on the break. And it was pretty clear that like they just couldn't really guard him, not one on one.
Yep.
You know, and typically Virginia really loves to just like double that post and trap that post. And
big, I thought
the
big.
And I thought we did a pretty good job of like going into our stuff so quickly that they couldn't really do that effectively.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying there.
Yeah, and they didn't want to leave Jared and Roach, obviously, too, right, which, you know, they didn't get going, so I guess they did limit those guys, but...
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a different defensive game plan from Virginia than I'm used to, because they seem so focused on guarding the three-point line. Understandably, we're the up to ninth now nationally in terms of three-point percentage, but normally you see Virginia kind of concede threes in order to defend the rim and kind of pack the paint. You know, it's, that's why it's called pack line. But I thought that they actually did a pretty good job contesting threes, and that's why we were only 6 of 19.
Yeah, and they were kind of blowing up. Their ball screen defense was, like, largely good, right? Like, there were some times where it, like, really made Roach and Proctor swing. It was just our secondary, like, hockey assist were just phenomenal.
We had a lot of good big-to-big passes.
Like, yeah, Stewart had one of the best passes of the game. Like, when Proctor or Roach kicks it over to him and he just throws the dime right to flip.
And then there was a couple from Ryan Young, too. That really nice one to Mitchell cutting down the baseline there.
Yeah. Flip had one as well, I think, to also Mitchell, led to a foul, like, really early on. I mean, really, you know, we can kind of bounce around and talk about it, but I do want to talk briefly just about the game plan coming in. I thought it was just excellent in terms of just you're wanting to push pace, but you kind of like, to me, that sounds easier. Like, oh, let's just get out and run, right? Well, if it's that easy, then everybody would just be doing that, right? But like to be able to get into our defensive stances and like what we were doing on the boards was just incredible, right? Like we would just, they were not getting rebounds. I think they did finish with like 10 offensive rebounds, but they had 29 overall. And I think we had like 42. So we crushed them pretty hard on the boards there. 17 assists, 10 turnovers. That was nice to see. Not a whole lot of like live ball pick sixes. Just walked in for the most part. I thought like it was really fun to be there because, you know, Virginia to me has kind of replaced like what Maryland used to be in terms of just like my hatred for like the non-UNC counterpart in the conference. Obviously UVA is down this year. They're not their traditional 17-3, 18-2 in the conference or whatever. But still to beat them by 25 points is nice.
it's their style of play that makes me hate them. You know, the fans, there's some fans out there that don't, but it's their style of play, like in general, like, and we've talked about it enough. Just, I don't know who wants to watch a team struggle to score 50 points.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
go play in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to Flip though. I want to get y'all's thoughts quickly though, just cause I thought this was one of his best games in quite some time, man, to be honest with you. Just everything he was doing defensively, what he was doing, calling out switches. Shu, you pointed out when we were sitting there, we had him kind of playing a little bit of like drop a little bit there too. Like he wasn't kind of getting involved
when
too
you get
much
the pick
there
and roll at the top. When Jeremy would have to, you know, roll off with the big guy, Flip would just kind of be sitting in the paint guarding, you know, his guys on the wing. So instead of Jeremy, you know, taking that big guy down into the paint, Jeremy was rotating out to the wing and Flip's just stepping up to pick up the big.
Yeah. And anytime he got isolated in the post, it was like he was scoring.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing they could really do. I think he only had two turnovers, which like, you know, that had kind of been a little bit of an issue for Flip at times, right? Like none of that. Obviously probably play of the game, at least like watching it live, was when he just picks the little inbound pass there from McNeely and just comes down with the windmill. I didn't really know Flip could do that. I didn't know he had that kind of hop in him. Shu, you said you weren't that surprised because of what he did, I guess, at, what was that, Wake?
Florida State.
Okay.
Yeah, caught the one, spun, went baseline, and kind of did the Gerald Henderson, like, up and under dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, seven-footers don't typically move
like, know, that.
Like that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he would have tried that windmill if we weren't already up, like, 20.
Yeah.
I was probably totally not fine with it. It was great, but...
Yeah. Y'all think he took this one personal a little bit, or do you think the ACC tournament kind of made up for that? Or do you still think that he was like, yeah, I want to send a message to these boys?
I feel like that, we should have been ACC regular season champs last year, and we kind of had that, and the ACC admitted to it, taken away from us. So take it personal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one thing I did notice, I can't speak to how personally he took it, but one thing I did notice is like, when he hit that top of the key three that put us up 19-6, that was about the most positive emotion I've, because we've seen negative emotion from Flip, right?
Yeah.
But that was about the most pumped up I've seen him be. So, take that for what it's worth. But maybe that's a clue there to how much he was feeling the importance of this game.
Yeah, for sure. And that was nice to see, because him and Proctor both are just like super fired up.
I think Proctor hit him for that one, right?
Yeah he drives in, turns, and he had been kind of doing that turn fade, which he had made like three of those. But he kicks that one out to Flip.
Well, you just brought Proctor up. We should probably talk about him a little bit, because he's been great since he got back. We talked about how he had that great stretch of five games, and then he went in that slump of like four games. And then, of course, he goes out for the concussion. But since he's been back, he's been really efficient. I think his assist to turnover ratio is like 5-1 or something like that. And he's shooting pretty well, too. And he had one of the plays of the game, too. That I don't know what that looked like live to you, but the what do you call the move where you kind of lead the turnaround jumper in the lane where he spun?
Oh, yeah. Where he kind of, to me, it's like the Rajon Rondo a little bit. Yeah. It's like someone who I've got where he kind of just shows like he's going to fake and then just turns right back around. And he's mastered
that. They call that a ball fake on the broadcast, but it's not really to me. There's got to be a specific name for that kind of
I mean, Rondo is that. That's what they should call it, the Rondo.
Not to get on it, but Rondo would also start using it as like a thing, and then he would like pass to out of it. Like he had all kinds of little like little tricks. But yeah, Proctor was in his bag a little bit, man. And you're right too. And also, if you go back to since he's came back, his 3-point percent. I was looking at it earlier. I need to go back and find it. But like his 3-point percentage is like really good in that stretch too. Which is a large part of what he's going to do, right? Because he is a guard that at times has issues kind of getting to the rim, right? So like for him to be able to rely on that 3-point shot, the chemistry him and Flip had really since he's been back, but definitely these last two games have been at a really high level.
But you mentioned it. We were listening to the Bennett press conference on the way back, and Bennett talked about like we were just able to get in the lane, get rebound, get scoring basically from anywhere. You know, getting in the lane, getting out of rebound, alpha rebounds, just kind of doing what we wanted to. I don't know what the official points in the paint we had. I think it was over 40 something, which is, I think it's some, I saw it was the most they've given up all year.
Points. It was in the a paint. Lot. Yeah. It was a lot, dude. I mean, we were in their lane all night. They really just couldn't do anything. And I think it's the crazy thing too, is that like Roach and McCain didn't really play well, right? Like they didn't play bad, but like they didn't get like a bunch of shots. They weren't really, especially McCain, they did a really good job on him.
Yeah. Roach's shot was off too. He was 0-4 from three.
Yeah.
On some good looks.
Had 5 assists. So still doing his part.
Had that really nice hang time midi there too. Yeah. And that was like right in front of us, dude. And it just looked like he just froze there in air for a second, man. That one was really nice. Yeah, I mean, in a game like this, you can go through the roster and like everybody kind of has to play well, right? In a 25-point win. But I think to me, it was Flip, Tyrese, and Mark that really just set the tone earlier, especially like Mark had a nice block like really early on that led to a run out. Had a few nice dunks in there. Obviously, he's kind of a mistake-free player for the most part, right? He's had those anomaly turnover games where he's had like 4 or 5, but for the most part, he's just been super solid for us. 2 blocks. I think he had 5 boards, 10 points, just his workmanlike effort there.
He did have the foot shuffle on the perimeter.
Right. As soon as they were like, no turnovers for Duke. And then he gets that, right?
Right. And like, and then there was that other play where I think Proctor got credited with the turnover, but it was, he passed it to Mark on the baseline there at the 3-point line. And it just went off Mark's hand. But it was kind of a wild pass, so I don't blame him for that. But
yeah, I mean, they were forcing it. I mean, the way they were doing those ball screens, those like hard hedges out, those kind of double traps. But all right. Well, I think we have to talk about TJ and Sean now, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's the you know, no Foster. You got what you needed from the big three there. And then Roach is kind of, you know, he didn't have his typical game tonight, but he's always going to be steady. We didn't need him. And we've talked about
it. We didn't force anything either. You know, that was the one thing. It's like, all right, shot's not falling. I don't need to try to go out and get 18 or 19 just to protect my average, you know.
Yeah. They can't, when flip touches it, good things are happening. Like, let's just keep kind of forcing that and see what they're going to do. And they never really did anything. But I think TJ was the first off the bench, right? Because we were sitting there and we were like, oh, okay. So TJ's first guy in.
Pretty early, too, in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like in the first like 6 minutes or so, 7 minutes.
We were probably up 10 already.
Yeah.
But I think it was like probably the, you know, the first media timeout or something.
It might have been like 15 minutes. Yeah. 15 and a half under the first 16 minute timeout.
Yeah. What did you think of TJ watching it on the TV? Because when I was watching it, it was, you know, I thought he actually played pretty decent defense too. Like, that was the one thing, right? Of like, all right, like, just, you got to see him kind of get involved there a little bit. A few kind of like shakiness on the offensive end when it was like started to put it on the floor or like, you know, about to throw the pick six pass there. But for the most part, I mean, he played what, 13 minutes and he got five threes up. That's what we need. If you're going to play, we got to get you, we got to get you shots. I don't know. Did the defense hold up on the TV or?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Just don't be a defensive liability out there. And I thought he was mostly in the right place. I think as the year has gone on, his positioning and rotations have gotten a little bit better. To me, where he's gotten in trouble is kind of in like ISO situations. You even saw that in the Louisville game when he was in. Like, they were going at him one-on-one, and he doesn't really have the footwork or the kind of instinct to know which direction the guard's going to drive. So it was a problem in that game, but maybe because UVA is kind of a little bit slower, he held up pretty well in this one, I thought.
And that's true, too. That, like, UVA didn't have a ton of guys outside of Beekman that were really threatening, you know, to take you off and do much. We lost a few rotations there, not so much on TJ, but we lost a few where I guess it was Dunn or whoever came in. They had a few big dunks.
Yeah.
But that was about it. All right, let's talk about Stewart then. What'd y'all think about him? Another one of the, what do you have, 8-8 after having 9-9?
I think six and eight.
Okay, yeah, so almost. Yeah,
two good games in a row either way.
Yeah. Energy level was there for him too.
Go ahead. Seems like he's starting to get a little bit more comfortable with, you know, being out there. I mean, the give and go pass break with,
that was nice.
With Roach, you know. Earlier this year, might have bobbled that out of bounds or not, you know, not been able to finish it. So it's nice to see that. He had the other dunk. I think Ryan hit him with a pass, and he just kind of one hand. But that's what I like to see. When you catch it under there, don't go up and just lay it up. Like, go up and flush it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was pretty much dunking. I mean, that last dunk he had, the game was way over by that point. But dude, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah. Josh and I jumped back like, ooh, okay.
Yeah. It's funny too, because the one like that everyone's talking about, that give and go, like, and this is goes back to like the weirdness of sometimes watching it live versus like seeing the, like, our angle, the way where we were in section 9 watching that, me and she were looking at each other like, dude, somebody take the damn shot. Like, what are we? Because it looks like they're so close together where they're just like, it's like, dude, so what, do y'all go up and not like F this up at the rim right here?
It was actually textbook, though, if you watch
when I watched the replay. Yeah. I was like, okay, that makes it look. But it looks like they're literally standing like almost side by side, just kind of like, it's like, okay, let's somebody go up.
I love how pumped up he gets after a dunk. I think I made that remark to you guys, but like, it's funny because it's like, what does he do on offense? He dunks, right? But after every single dunk, he's acting like he like had a game winner or something. But yeah, I mean, he did a much better job of hanging on to the ball. Yeah. And that's been a big problem for him, you know, throughout the year, to the point I'm like, you know, even remark to you guys, like, are his hands just too tiny for his size or something like that? Because he was bobbling a lot. And maybe that's just a confidence issue, like, and just getting in the flow of things and being ready to receive the pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had the one turnover, like trying to lead the break, where he kind of bobbled just, it and like
dribbled it off. Yeah.
But other than that, you know, energy was high, played well, didn't try to do too much. I thought he
was soaring in for those rebounds right? And like rebounding, that really helped, especially like if we're playing him with Flip or someone that allows them to kind of leak a little bit, you know, it creates those transition opportunities a little bit more. He was able to put some rim pressure up there too, like in good position, I thought, defensively as well for the most part. I think that's always going to be something, well, this year, that Sean and TJ are, they're not going to be elite defenders, right? And so it's right. Not that we need them to be that, but we need you to be able to hold up. We need us to be able to play team defense. And I thought, you know, at least for last night, it was working. You know, but everything we did worked, so.
I actually like Stewart's defense when he's in an ISO situation. I think he gets down in a pretty good stance and is pretty good at staying with his man. It's almost like the opposite of TJ's problem because he's got the athleticism to move kind of quickly laterally, but he just doesn't, he's not always in the right place yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Stewart, his rebounding numbers are just off the charts. Offensive rebounding percentage of 21.6, and that's despite all the dropped, you know, ball. So that's fantastic. 27% defensive rebounding. That's solid. I mean, it's really good, but not quite to the 21% offensive. But yeah, so just 24% total rebounding overall. That's like, he's easily the best rebounder on the team per minute.
Yeah. He is our version of Bryce Johnson, right? Like yeah. He's the demonstrative, the like, I'm going to slam my chest. Yeah. Now go get you a 30-20 and then, you know, we'll talk a little bit, I guess.
I mean, but if he starts at some point in the future, if say he sticks around Duke and he starts playing 30 minutes a game, we could see like, you know, him averaging 12, 13 rebounds.
Yeah. Could happen. Man, you know, we can go through and nitpick some of this stuff, but I feel like in a game like this, it was really just a fun environment to be in. It was like a 2-hour party for us, right? Like we went down to the Hall of Fame at halftime, just everyone's just kind of chilling. I don't think some people came back out of that, right? They were just like, we'll just chill down here. I mean,
is that where they serve the beer during halftime?
Yeah, we're all the like,
okay, nice. Don't let the secret out.
Yeah.
Nobody knows about that yet.
Yeah, right. I wish.
Well, my roommate told me about that because he worked the concession stands there, but I never knew about it. I'd gone to a bunch of games without like being like, I wish I could have a beer.
Yeah, yeah. So you go over there and get you a little goal kick down. But yeah, I mean, anything else I want to talk about in terms of the game? I mean, you know, we had the walk-ons on with like 6 minutes to go. It was like it was 38-39 with like 7 minutes to go. It was a wrap.
You don't see that in Virginia games, you know, bringing the walk-ons out 5 minutes to go. So
yeah,
that kind of indication of just what kind of ass whooping we put on those boys. You know, Josh and I are the whole time. Every time we're even up 20, like run it up. Let's
run
go.
It up. Yeah.
Run like, it up, baby.
I wanted to destroy these dudes, man. I find their style of play offensive to the sport. Pretty much, right? I just did. I can't take it.
It'll be interesting to see, because you guys remember when we had Jeff Goodman on, he was talking about thinking that Bennett might retire a little bit early because of the state of the sport. So it'll be interesting to see if he wants to go after this season. This could be the kind of season that breaks a coach like him.
Yeah, possibly. And I mean, you know, because I don't really envy these coaches, so like having to deal with all of this stuff, right? Now, I'm not saying that the players shouldn't have it. Like, I'm for the players having it, but I think you can be empathetic towards both sides, right? Like, agree that the players should have all of the freedoms that they're having, but also be like, that makes coaching kind of much harder than it was 20 years ago. So both things can be true.
It's pretty clear to me that he just wants to get guys who will stay there for 4 years and kind of slowly build out the defense. And that's just really hard to do in this day and age.
It's just not going to happen now.
Yeah. I mean, because now teams are plucking your guys, right? Like teams are going to go pluck Brogdon from you. They're going to go pluck Kyle Guy and Jerome. Like, come play up here, right? Come up.
Yeah, that's the big difference.
Yeah, come play here and get an extra 30 possessions a game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably at one point, bigger NIL payout too. It's certain other schools.
At one point, I'm watching the game and I'm like getting this kind of early, or not early, but like midway through the first half. And I'm like, what are you doing? Switch, get over there. And I'm like, oh, wait, they don't even have permission to shoot that yet. There's still 18 seconds left on the clock. You can just leave them open. Don't even worry about the rotation. It's only in the last 6 seconds of the shot clock that you really got to be locked in.
We out Virginia on one possession there. The one that Ryan Young got up that layup with like 0.8 left.
Yeah, I thought Roach kind of put him in a bad spot. I was like, man, you got to just shoot that jerk. But hey, he went up. No head fake. Just boom, right up, right? So we'll take it there. Anything else y'all want to talk about specifically about that game? Or we can kind of try. I guess one thing to notice is it does look like with Foster out, we are looking to bring Sean and TJ in, not Ryan and Blake's, right? It seems to be, hey, we want, not that I think Ryan and Blake's are going to have their role and they're going to be there, but it does seem like, okay, we want these other two Frosh to, we got to figure out if they can help us, right? We got to figure out if we can play these dudes in a meaningful game. What do y'all make of that decision? Personally, I'm for that, but I'm just curious kind of what y'all make of that.
I mean, I think some of the guys on the boards pointed out, like, we didn't see TJ for a lot of this year. Then all of a sudden he's playing, you know, 13 minutes in a March game versus UVA. That might be an indicator that I don't know if we see Foster again. Certainly not before, you know, the NCAA tournament. I don't see any way that we see him Saturday for sure. And, you know, ACC tournament's a week away from that, or beginning the week after, I guess.
Yeah,
certain. I guess we wouldn't play till Thursday, so that's what, two Thursdays away. I mean, it's still not a lot of time.
Well, and John's talking about, like, you know, we're taking this week by week, and it's like, bro, there's only three. You know, like, there's not many weeks. I don't know. I'm not gonna speculate on it, but I don't think we see him in the regular season.
Sure,
I think that's pretty much out. And then after that, it kind of gets into
how far do you go
after a certain point? You start to get mojo, right? You start to get a cohesion back, and then it becomes, you know, maybe he can come off the bench and help here or there, but if that's going to be the role, you gotta at that point just get healthy too, right? Like, don't do anything,
don't
else,
rush, but,
yeah
I mean, it could be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's empowered Proctor to kind of go back to being,
yeah,
and that's the
guy that we, yeah,
that's the ceiling, is Tyrese, like, being the primary point guard, right? Like, that is the ceiling. So,
and with the Stewart and Power thing, it's like, okay, realistically, if we made a run and we got to the Final Four or something, they're probably not going to be playing much, you know, maybe a couple minutes or something. But like you said, yeah, Proctor getting kind of unlocked would be huge for us. But then with Stewart and Power, it's like, you know, at least we're showing them, hey, you've got a path forward to, like, real minutes next year. So it could be big in that regard, especially for a guy like TJ who hasn't really played.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, in a tournament setting, it's, you know, our starting five, even without Foster, the five out there are among the top 5 to 6 teams in the country, just going starting five. And so then you're looking at
two guys who can give you 10 minutes.
We need a combined 15 minutes from Sean and TJ, like six to seven and a half, to just kind of spell the lead. And then, you know, Ryan can give you 6 to 10 in there too, right? Blake's can come in and give you a little bit there if you need it. But I would be surprised if John doesn't ride the horses pretty hard when it comes to, like, big time basketball, which I'm fine with at this point in the year, right? Like, we've had guys been injured, we've had guys miss some time and get some rest. It's time to go. I don't know. I'm just not one who's ever been a huge got to play 10 deep because we're going to get tired legs. I just don't think that's the case with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. I mean, if LeBron at 40 can go play a back-to-back and drop 30, then surely a 20-year-old can, right? Like, I, you know, whatever.
And you look at our title teams too. Like, they don't typically follow the pattern of being, like, super deep. 2001 played, like, 6.5 guys.
Yep.
2010 obviously was, you know, 8 guys sort of, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, a little bit of Mason, a little bit of Miles, and a teeny bit of Andre sprinkled in there, right? I mean,
and then 2015, sort of the famous 8 is enough, and obviously Grayson didn't really even play in the tournament until, like, the last couple games there.
Yeah, and who was the other 8th? Marshall? Marshall was the part of the 8 too, so it was really the starting five and Emil, right? Because when Emil got bumped to the bench there to go Winslow at the 4. Yeah, so, you know, I don't think that's a, if you do want to talk about foul trouble or another injury happen, then sure. But at this point, if we have another injury happen, I don't think we're just kind of screwed at that point, right?
If Flip gets in foul trouble in a big game, he has, like, 4 fouls in the first half, it's just over anyway, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that just can't, you just have to bleed points and just hope that you can make up for it at that point. But all right, well, let's take a little short break right quick, and then let's talk about NC State.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, fellas, let's come back here. Obviously, this is going to drop Monday sometime, so we'll be gearing up to play in Raleigh, which has typically been not the best place for us to play over the years. So one thing, though, that we were talking about on the way back Saturday is that, Raul, you had mentioned this a while back, but typically those abysmal performances happened in our, like, awful January, like, yep, trying to figure things out, coming off a Christmas break, getting the doors blown off of us. This being in March, does that change the way y'all feel entering this game? Or since you kind of brought it up, Raul, I'll go to you first on that. Does the timing of when the game occurs matter, or is it just Raleigh is Raleigh and prepare for the worst?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, because so many of those losses were under Coach K, and historically under K, January was just our kind of like figuring it out period. You know, because we'd always come roaring out of the gate in November and December, and then January we'd always hit that kind of slump and kind of figure things out again by February. So I don't know if with Shire that'll be the same pattern, because we've seen under him, like, the team is more like a slow improvement throughout the year. But it is a good point. Like, I looked through, so we've gone 3-6 against NC State at NC State since 2010. All of those games, I believe, were in January, except for the 2020 game, which we lost 88-66. And that was like mid to late February. So we'll see if it factors in. Either way, the six losses have just been ugly. So I'd really like to avoid something like that. Like, I made a post about it, actually, that you guys saw probably. But we've allowed like almost 88 points per game in the losses. And generally, we've been ranked in the top 10 and they've been unranked. And we've lost by like a margin of like 16.8 points in those games. So it's not been a great place for us to play.
Yeah. Not ideal there. Shi, what about you? Does the timing of it matter at all? Do you think that, you know, it's March, maybe we can, you got to be ready to go at this point? I mean, we just watched State go up 10 at Carolina and miss 15 straight shots. Now, guaranteed that's probably not happening, but I'm hoping that what happened last year doesn't happen, where it's like 18-2, you know, yeah. Them. Like, where are you at with this?
Yeah, so I was just looking that up. So we played on January 4th last year. They beat us 84-60.
And it was like 24-2 or something. Yeah, right?
Most
like
of that margin was in the very beginning of the game.
Yeah. So, you know, all things considered, you have that kind of revenge factor. But, you know, as you just said, State was, they were up against Carolina. I think they had, what did you say? There was a guy that was like 5 of 7 from three in the first half against them. So maybe that was a little bit of a fluke, but they're going to be ready. I mean, the place is going to be rowdy. You know what it's like when we come to town, quick turnaround game. So it's going to be tough, but I think being in March, you know, the last 2 years, it's, you know, again, small sample, but we've been playing our best basketball towards the end here. So I hope we can do what Ken Pom predicts us to do and get this dub.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost 5 out of 7, right? Like, it's one of those things. Now, they do have a guy that in DJ Horn that's a big-time kind of player, right? Like a big moment, big lights guy. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be there. But, man, you know, we watched a little bit of that Saturday when we were kind of just hanging out on campus shooting. Like, they did not look like just smart in terms of like what they were doing, right? Like, they just went, they once the wheels started to fall off, I mean, State's going to State pretty much, right, is what happened. However, we don't seem to get that look. Now, whatever Carolina has against them, they just beat them like the stepbrother that they view them as. But we, for whatever reason, that hasn't translated for us. I know you said Kim Pom predicts a 78-72 win. So a 6-point game here. Well, how do y'all feel about that? You taking the points there? You anyone taking State to win this game?
I've got Duke winning. I just think we're playing really well right now. You know, even in our lone loss recently against Wake, we looked great. But yeah, to me, I just think we're going to win the next two games. I'm most worried. You mentioned DJ Horn. I'm worried about the other DJ Burns.
Yeah, Big Bernie.
I think we gotta drag him out and make him defend in space because he's going to score.
Yeah.
Flip, you know, he probably outweighs Flip by like, I don't know how much, but like, even though he's like 4 inches shorter, you know, he's got a significant probably strength advantage on Flip. So I think he's got great footwork and great touch too. I think he's going to score around the basket, but we have to make them pay for having him out there defensively.
Yeah.
Do you send a double at him if he catches it low in the post?
I don't know, man, because his assist rate is actually pretty good, right? And like, that's the one thing.
Who's he? If you double, but you don't double off of Horn, you know, Morsell can knock down shots. But other than that, who are you worried about burning you from outside from that State team?
Yeah, I guess it's just the Jaden Taylor kid, right? Yeah. So that's the only other
that's
one.
That's the kid that hit. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's shot 35% on 132 attempts.
Right.
Everyone else, you're right, is I guess if you did double, you could try it, you know,
just make him give it up.
Yeah,
it only if he's catching it, you know, low block, especially, you know, he's left-handed. If he can turn over that right shoulder and go lefty from that left block.
I mean, you saw we had nothing for him last year, even with Lively out there. So I just think it's going to be a tough matchup and we may have to live with it. And it's just like, okay, he's going to go 8 for 10, but can we just
limit everybody else?
Yeah. Definitely you got to put Proctor on Horn, I would guess. 43% from three on like a huge number of attempts is just like, he's pretty dangerous there. But yeah, I mean, I just think like if you can make the middle of the lane super open and get Burns into some foul trouble, that might be another way to defend him, right? It's like you talk about doubling, but if we get 3 or 4 quick fouls on him,
yeah,
that's an even better defense.
Yeah, just running the same stuff we have with like Mark Mitchell being super active, just streak the baseline, dude. Yeah. Just streak it. And every time he comes over to help, just dunk it. And hopefully you get an and one, right? And like, or anytime you're matched up on him, like, I want Mark driving the ball, like, drive in. You're a good finisher, you're good at drawing contact. And really, to me, it's like you can't let DJ Horn have the Hunter Salas game against us, right? Where you're just allowing him to just cook, to see rim, to get open daylight. Because if that happens, then everything else starts to just break down around you and it becomes hard to contain everything else.
And that's how you get a team shooting like 60% from the field, 50% from three, because you're just getting open looks because, you know, the lead guard's getting into the lane.
Yep. And then it's just the floaters start falling, the fadeaways start dropping, right? Like the give and goes, the up, everything just seems to start happening on you and it just crushes you. But yeah, I mean, I agree with y'all. I think we're playing really well. I think we win. I think we cover. You know, I think we can win by about 10 to 12 points. I don't see why we shouldn't be able to do that. I don't know. Did you pick and do too, right? I don't know if you.
No, I guess if you guys are going to take the win, I'll be the one to go against
39 and 1.
I'll take our old spot this time and we won't put him in that predicament. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right. We just pull the old regular Raleigh scheduled stop, take that L. Yeah.
Well, let's, if we are going to lose, let's not lose by like 20, you know, the sake of the net and all that stuff. You know,
this is, again, goes back to what Josh was talking about preseason. This, you know, we're going to lose some games. Let's not just get, you know, crushed anytime this year.
And we haven't. So far.
Yes.
And that would be the worst thing. You wouldn't want that to come from state, right? Like the only time that we get kind of wrong for it to come from them. So we'll see. Before we get out of here, though, just real quickly, since you put it on here and I was looking, the net's looking pretty good for us right now. Again, who knows what they actually used, because their top 16 didn't ideally match the net, but up to ninth, which passes Carolina for now. Georgia Tech got the win that bumped them up to a quad two, which gets us out of having any quad three or quad four for now. You're right. So that's the...
I think that I put it in there, they're like 134. So they're like 135 is the cutoff, or 36.
So
Arkansas must be close to the line
like
there.
120.
Too. Yeah. Okay. So they might be safe, actually.
They might be able to sneak it in. Yeah.
Right. It's ridiculous to me. Like, I don't want to go on a seeding rant again, because I feel like we already did that, two podcasts ago. Yeah. But it's ridiculous to me that I still see Carolina being talked about as like a one seed. And meanwhile, the highest I see anybody putting us is a three. But when you look at the quad record, you look at the overall record, you look at KenPom, you look at like everything that matters, we're essentially the same team.
Yeah.
Like, we have one more quad one loss, I think, right? And if we were to beat Carolina, then it goes even.
Yeah. I think as of today, we're 5-3 and 1-2.
Right. Yeah. And Carolina's 6-4. What are they? I think they have 6 quad one wins.
And 6-4 loss. Okay. And 6-2 in quad two. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to come down to, we need to split with them, right? Because obviously if they sweep, then they have that argument of like, well, we've just swept these guys. So
if we beat them, I think there's a potential for both of us to get a 2-seed.
Yeah, that could get interesting. Yeah. We'll save that for a couple of days, right? We'll rainy day that, so we can have something to kind of look forward to here. Obviously that was a great game to be at. Had a lot of fun. Hopefully we can finish things out here on the road in Raleigh, and then we'll come back and gear up for Carolina in the season finale. Yeah. But in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on the boards at thedevilsden.com. You can find us on X/Twitter at devilsdenpod247. Keep the faces strong in the verb high. Go do.
Smart. Just-